BBC World Service presents.
This is London.
Der Surf Europa Podcast.
Welcome to the Surf Europe Podcast. I'm Paul Evans.
And I'm Ben Mundy.
Coming up on the show, deluded, power-craving Ginger gets rumbled planting fake news on the situation in the North Atlantic. No, not Trump on NATO, but Ben Mundy on Tom Butler's giant wave in Ireland that never was. We propose improvements for the World Surf League and discuss such diverse fare as Zeke Lau's hair, Laird's sandal scandal, and Chris Burgess's beak. Meanwhile, Moan at Mundy returns to remind us that the glass is half full. Of wetsuit we, as our moaners find fault with the world's best wave, thong-clad Scandinavian backpackers in Bali, and of course, Cornwall. This and much more, ladies and gentlemen. Get comfortable and get ready to bid adieu to some 30-plus minutes of your life that you'll never get back. It's the Surf Europe Podcast.
Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Well, thanks, Paul. Yes, yourself?
Brilliant. Feeling really fired up about surfing in general at the moment.
Yeah. Nothing but optimism, positivity for 2017.
It's been brilliant so far.
Enjoy this trip.
Let's go with a part of the show we like to call...
That's good.
I'll tell you what's good. I've sort of been fairly impressed with Chris Burgess. He's the South African fella who was stand-up paddleboarding across the Atlantic. As we speak, he's across the Canaries. He's kind of over halfway. He's manufactured his own. It's not really stand-up paddleboard. It's more of a... Well, it's some type of craft, ocean-going craft.
Yeah.
He does stand up and he does paddle it, so fair play. And he's about, 40 million miles into his journey, and he's sunbeaten and he's weather-damaged, and he just keeps plodding along.
So he's South African.
He very much
big wave surfer.
Yeah, he won the Mavericks comp a few times. He's one of those, like, crazy saffers that grew up around Cape Town. Just he's got a couple of screws loose and just charges and tries to find ways to physically inflict pain on himself, and this is his latest and greatest.
What I quite like about him is like his face, or mainly like his sort of nose. If you had to sort of describe his nose, you'd almost say it looks sort of Burtish. Do you know what I mean? If there was like a Sesame Street character, it could be called Burtish, and that... It's the sort of shape of nose it'd have, so he appeals on many levels.
Yeah, well, right now he's facing that Burtish nose into the wind and heading for the Americas, and good luck to him.
My nose is really Burtish right now.
I said Burtish.
No! That's good!
I actually wrote an article, surfeuropemag.com, proposing...
So one of your good things is one of your own articles.
Yeah, proposing some changes for the World Surf League. Not that I'm saying the World Surf League isn't brilliant, because it is, and I love it. That's going to be actually another good coming up. But just a few tweaks here and there. Did you read it?
No.
Okay, well, I'll tell you about some of them.
I didn't know the Surf Europe website was still like a going concern.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Huge. It's still one of the main ones.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's still massive. There was a footballer called Marco van Basten, a Dutch footballer from the 80s and 90s, and he did a little bit of consultancy for FIFA about how they could improve the game of soccer, the beautiful game of football. So I've kind of come in the Van Basten role in surfing with a few sort of radical changes.
Except that he did reach the very highest level of his sport himself, so he had a pretty good eye in terms of consultancy. But anyway, go ahead.
He did reach the very highest level, but his career was sort of shortened by injury. It was sort of, in many ways, similar to mine.
Okay.
But I was called to journalism, Ben. But
what's your big plan? What do you got?
Well, I think... We obviously need to get fewer surfers on tour, chop them down.
Six.
20 surfers, 4 wild cards, 24 surfers, 8 heats, 3. It's done in 2 days.
Right.
Instant elimination. Once you lose, you're out. That's it. So you start off with 3 guys. You come third, you're out, you're gone. And then whenever you lose, you're gone. Do a way of seeding, Ben. Just get rid of that. It's rubbish. It's bullshit. It's too much protectionism in the world. We don't need any more. And the idea of that is...
So, potentially, that would mean going to, the penultimate event or the last event in the world title. There's 2 world title fellas going for the title.
Yep.
One and two, and they get drawn just in the first heat.
Yeah.
Just out of the pack.
Yeah, exactly.
And that could end the world title race.
Yeah, yeah, like why not? I mean, yeah, well, I'd be interested to see stats on the sort of surf conditions on the first day compared to the last day at events, but I would say there's no sort of relationship between the best conditions and the sort of it being the final.
Okay,
yeah, it's yeah, just as likely to be on the first day as any day. But, I mean, under my new format, there'd only be 2 days of the event anyway. It'd be 2 days.
Yeah.
You'd use one swell, so it wouldn't matter. If this is on the first day, brilliant. You know, this event's going to start tomorrow. It starts, and guess what? It's John John versus Medina, 10 a.m. local time. Amazing. But yeah, it could happen. But yeah, do away with the seeding. Do away with the QS double qualifying. Just get rid of that.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that.
That's crap. Shouldn't be able to do that. That's a nonsense. A few other things. Oh, the points. That's right. The points. The points, yeah, points are ridiculous. I don't know why it's something 1,000 points. When just make, if it's at a 10,000, make it 10. Just get 10. Oh, Formula 1, you get 25 for winning a Grand Prix. F1, as it's called now. You get 25. You get 18 for second and so on. So, like, by the end of the season, the gap is might be like sort of 19 points coming in. So it's really easy to understand. What the fuck does it mean when they say, oh, he's 3,725 points behind? Like, what does that even... You don't even know if that's good or bad. It's ridiculous. Yeah, those are my improvements. And I'm offering them up for free, actually. If the World Surfing wants to pick them up and run with them, I'm happy with that. I'm just...
It's a free consultancy.
Just giving back to the sport that's given me so much, Ben. What else have we got that's...
Well, on that kind of thing, I'm just kind of quite look forward to, and also following the football analogy or soccer analogy a little bit, Mick Fanning coming back.
Yeah, I thought he'd retired.
No. I actually spoke to him recently, and
he's... Oh, do you know Mick?
Yeah, I do know.
Oh, you hadn't mentioned that before.
Well, I hadn't mentioned it. Yeah, he's fighting fit for snapper.
Hang on, sorry.
It's a bit like
you know Mick personally.
Well, I've met him.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that you knew.
Oh, I'll tell you about it later. Yeah. I'll tell you about it off air. I've got loads of stories.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I can't say them on air, you know, because, just friendship, confidentiality. But, yeah, no, he's coming back. He's ready. And it's a bit like when, say, your football team or your rugby league team, one of your star players gets injured and he's out for 6 months or 8 months. And then when he comes back, it's a bit like you've got a new signing, you know, like you sign a brand new player, but you sort of know who it is if you're with me.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's coming back. He looks fresh. Just it's another little spark in the WSL sort of tour. You know, one of the best servers. Hopefully fresh, fighting fit, ready to have a crack. So I'm quite looking forward to that.
I did a little piece.
Hi, Mick.
With Leo.
He'll be listening. Hi, Mick.
Leo Fioravanti the other day, and I asked him about his give me your top 10 for next year.
Right.
And he was like, Gabriel's getting the win, which I agree. And he's like, Mick in second. I was like, Mick. And he's like, Fanning. I was like, what? See, I thought he's retired. And he just sort of looked at me like, you idiot.
Yeah.
I honestly thought he'd retired. I had no idea he was coming back.
Well,
yeah, I thought Joel...
Your work at the coalface has just been a little bit... I don't know.
I thought Joel, Mick and Kelly had all retired. Apparently they're on tour.
They're on tour, yeah.
Wow,
just going around again.
What an exciting year it's going to be.
Paul, have you got anything that's...
No! That's good!
Weighing in your wetsuit.
An oldie, but a goodie.
Oh... I always like to compare it with the old taking the snowboard boots off at the end of the day. It's just some of the sort of simple...
Just weighing in them.
Yeah.
Just taking off your boots.
Simple pleasures in life that are just free and just great. And it doesn't matter what kind of a surf you are, it's like a great level on many regards. It's like, what's your surfing got in common with someone young and good and good-looking? Not much, but you can wean your wetsuit and so can they. And I just think it's just one of those.
When do you do it? When do you, at what stage?
Pretty much as soon as I put it on in the car park.
Right. Pre-water.
Normally I don't go, like, just before I leave the house. I sort of store it up so I can, you know, wee as much as possible.
So you don't even wait to hit the water?
Well, sometimes you just can't get it when you've got to go.
I've got a mate who, the mere smell of neoprene makes him do a poo. So he's always like getting ready, and as soon as he sees
Is it nerves?
Yeah, it's a bit nerves. Pulls the rubber out. It's James Stenniford. I'm going to say his name.
Famous
snowboarder.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Amazing snowboarder. But the smell of neoprene.
Yeah,
if he's listening, James, thanks, buddy.
It's in poo.
No! That's good!
Laird Hamilton. Obviously,
yeah.
He's always good, no matter what he does.
Brilliant.
Just the concept of Laird Hamilton is good.
Did I tell you about the time he slammed a door in my girlfriend's face?
No.
Okay. At D'Amico's Pizza, used to be a pizza place on the North Shore. And he sort of went through the door with Derek Donauer, and like Evie was, she was going through the door, and he just basically slammed it in her face.
Right.
But anyway.
Anyway.
Carry on.
Well, she probably deserved it. He was at Sundance, which is a film festival in the States, in Aspen. It's cold, obviously, snow, and he's just turned up, and he's, there's a photo of him just at the awards in his flip-flops. He's just got the jeans on. He'd actually, on the way there, helped someone out of the snow. Some car had been stuck, and he'd lifted the car up with his bare hands,
yeah,
moved it, and parked it perfectly, and then saved the woman, no doubt. And then he just strolled off into his into the awards with his flip-flops through the snow. And I was like, Led Hamilton, you are good.
Was it a baggy jean? Is it a slightly baggy jean?
A Led's. With well, a flip-flop. It's called the Led cut.
Yeah.
It's not the boot cut. It's not the, you know, it's not the jean. It's the baggy. And he matched it with kind of like a just slight, the slightest different shade of chambray blue to his jeans. Yeah. Just enough to look good. Just like a, kind of like a tracksuit sort of jacket with the jean and the flip-flops in the snow in Sundance, mm, and that was good.
You see quite a lot of sort of dudes that never really change, like you see the old sort of Teddy Boys, and they keep the sort of sideburns even when they're old. That sort of, when they were in their like that sort of peak of fashion for them, they were sort of rolling, they keep that. And then the sort of baggy jean and the flip-flops was quite sort of mid-90s, isn't it? And like, yeah, that was when he was like in the Strapped Crew or whatever they were called, and like had those Jerry Lopez boards.
He's a fashion icon. Paul, have you got anything else that is good?
Yeah, have. It's coming back on the World Surf League, actually. Oh. Just going from strength to strength.
Right.
I thought it was a great year last year for the World Surf League.
Yep. Some of the writing on the website's been amazing. Yeah.
It was just I don't know. It's like good.
The quotes they do each month, they're amazing. Yeah.
I thought Pipe was a little bit, maybe a bit anticlimactic, but then we had the Big Wave World Tour event in Nazaré. I'm not sure if you caught any of that.
I didn't catch that.
So there's this big wave.
Of course I did. Yeah, it was amazing. I saw the footage.
Yeah, I was actually invited along to do some commentary.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I heard that you were doing it. I didn't listen in.
Awkward. Actually, we got a few tweets in.
We did. Did we?
Yeah, we got some
that's
tweets.
Good. How is your mum?
Yeah, I got some tweets. This one's Marco in Oxfordshire. He says,
hotbed of surfing.
He says, I saw Paul on the Big Wave World Tour commentary. It just wasn't the same, Paul, without Ben.
Yeah, that's true.
It was much, much better.
Right, is that what Marco says?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Marco can go get fucked.
But there are some other great events coming up soon. One in Martinique.
Yes.
We're hoping to go there.
Yeah, we're hoping to get a late call-up or an early call-up.
I was thinking about really, myself, just specialising in giant waves in surf over 40 foot,
yeah,
as an expert, as a surfing expert broadcaster. But
kind of your niche, isn't
it? I am prepared to diversify.
To drop it down.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But I just think it's exciting times for the sport, Ben.
Yeah, I agree.
We're on the cusp of something amazing. Obviously, we've got the Euro rookies on there coming up too. Joanne, Leo, Kikish.
Kikish.
So I think it's just a great year for the tour, whether or not they implement my my proposed changes.
Now this is a tough one. I saw the do you see the Zeke Lau profile?
Yeah, I did the video.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
It was really good.
So that could definitely fit.
Do you mean
the good
Hawaiian Superman?
Yeah, that could fit into the good category because he's surfing. And I've been on record on this podcast of saying Zeke Lau is one of the best surfers in the world, and he's going to rattle that cage next year.
The best surfer.
I didn't say he's the best, but I'm saying he's got the potential to be the best. Well, after that clip, I stand by it. But I just a little bit what I thought was bad is that I don't know if you've seen it. Check it out if you haven't. If you haven't seen it. At one stage, he talks about during his teenage years, his dad made him sort of keep a crew cut or a buzz cut, a shaven head, until he won the NSSA.
I don't think it was just as a teenager. I think he was about eight. Yeah,
right,
it was
from eight to like 18.
A small infant, yeah.
Yeah, where he had to shave his head until he won the NSSA, which is the Major American Schoolboys Comp. And I just thought, that's a bit cruel. Like, you really shouldn't be shaving young kids' heads and at all, if I don't want to do it, and then be on the proviso of winning something. It kind of goes against the grain. But Zeke's where he's at today, maybe because of his father's strong hand. I don't know. But I just thought, oh, that's a bit bad. That's a bit rough.
Yeah, I don't think...
I felt a bit sorry for Zeke when he was a poor nine-year-old.
In their house, they were listening to Bob Marley's Chase Those Crazy Bald Heads Out of Town. I don't think they were listening to that at all.
Anyway, he's come through it all right, and he's going to hit the world tour, and I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, he is a Hawaiian Superman.
He is,
so yeah. I always wondered, his like Instagram is like Hain Superman, like Hayn Superman.
Right.
And I always wondered what that was. And then I saw, and there's like a kind of a reggae number.
Yeah,
Hawaiian Superman. And then I kind of realised that's what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's obviously native Hawaiian. Has done huge steps to educate a lot of surfers and young kids on the ancient ways of the Hawaiians.
If anyone's going to save a sort of a dozing, slumbering, siestering child from having their flesh ripped to shreds by the oncoming blades of a combine harvester or other massive agricultural machinery, it's Zeke, isn't it?
It is,
as
yeah.
Superman famously did.
Yes.
Mick Fanning pretending to retire. I thought, like, once you're off. You can't, like, you know.
This is where your knowledge gap of the sport has just shown up. A, in the good when you asked if you retired, and now B, when you say he was faking his retirement. He's been on record the whole time saying he's taking a year off.
Yeah.
A sabbatical.
Okay.
He re-qualified by virtue of his points.
Right, okay, fair
enough.
And
said he'd always sort of take it year by year.
Yeah.
But anyway, you go ahead. Sorry to get the facts in the way of your...
It reminds me a little
clouded
bit.
Brain.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of Mr. Elliot, a PE teacher from school, Jack Elliot, who used to be a footballer. He played for Millwall up as a number 9 in the 50s for Millwall.
And hard as fuck.
Yeah, and he was like, you know, sort of physically abusive to children. He's like, you know, yeah.
He'd hit them.
Yeah, and he basically retired. They retired him every year. We'd have like assembly at the last day of term in the summer, and they'd say, "Oh, Mr. Elliot, you know, he's been at the school for sort of 37 years." And thanks a lot. We'd all clap him up. And lo and behold, come September, there he was again.
Short shorts on.
Yeah, and he kind of wouldn't retire. So it seems like some surfers, I'm not singling out Mick, but just in general, seem to like want to have their retirement and eat it too.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Feel like he's coming out of retirement like boxers.
Yeah, well, Kelly's done it, didn't he? He retired for 3 years. He comes back and he always dangles that retirement carrot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he always comes back.
So, anyway, yeah, that's... I just think we need a bit more clarity on the situation.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. I'll call him. I'll just call him if you want clarity. I mean, it's not that hard to get clarity on this. But anyway.
Ben, what else have you got that's...
I saw in the World Junior Championships that were held in Kaima.
Uh-oh.
Now, that was, unfortunately... dogged by very small waves. So it was a bit of an anticlimax. But Ethan Ewan, who won it, is a superstar of the sport. So that was good. But another female competitor, a girl called Maddie Peterson, I think is her name. I saw her and I thought, oh, she was a pretty good surfer. And then I got asked to do an interview with her for a rival site. So I thought I'd just, you know, do a bit of research, get in touch with her, went onto a Facebook page. She's 18 or 19. She's very attractive. She's got like 40 million Instagram followers. She's married to a star quarterback from Alabama, all that. And then I just saw this sort of, well, basically it was just this pro-Trump kind of like Facebook feeds, which I thought, well, that's actually, I haven't sort of seen many kids go on pro-Trump. Yeah. I haven't seen many people in my echo chamber.
What did it say exactly?
So the first thing I saw was like, I still believe God has full, complete control of our country. And then the hashtag, make America great again. And this is like, I think about 4 days before the inauguration. And I said, whoa, Maddie, woo it back. But seeing teenagers pro-Trump going against the grain. So I just thought that's pretty bad.
Do you think she thought that God had full, complete control over her country when the sort of Sandy Hook massacre was going down as well? It's a bit of a strange thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very religious thing to say, for sure. But I was like, well, Maddie, you go, girl. You pro-Trump it up.
The sort of God stuff in general.
Well, I'm not... I'm
the surfing and God stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I mean, Each to their own.
The thing that bothers me about it is that there are kids watching.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, should you really be sort of...
No one sort of comes up and says, thanks Satan, do they? So I just want to thank Satan for getting through that heat.
No one's putting that
without Satan,
the argument across.
I would not have got that last 4.8. So, I know, someone needs to, yeah, you're right, a bit balanced on the Douglas L.
Sage doesn't mind a little bit of a...
Satan?
A bit of a god shout-outs.
Yeah.
You see a bit of that on there.
I did see there was a little a profile on the WSL, and she said that once she was most thankful about 3 years ago, God gave her advice to stay on tour.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
And then she listened, as you would, if God said stay on tour.
Yeah.
And she stayed on, and she's been there ever since. She had the best year ever last year.
I find it quite hard seeing that God, on that particular day, had his sort of priorities, you know, kind of pretty much worked out in order.
It was all seen.
He had, like, quite a big to-do list in the world in general, and up there was advising Sage on...
February 2014, the 7th.
The QS, basically. So, yeah, that's... it makes me a bit uncomfortable.
Seems to be the Americans a bit more...
And the South Americans, isn't it? It's that continent, basically.
Yeah, the Brazilians are fairly
world's biggest Catholic country.
There you go. Bring back more Satan on tour.
Matt Hoy, maybe. He would be probably like Satan's last disciple, last possibly, on the Pro Tour.
Paul, have you got anything else that's...
Well, just thinking about it now, maybe sort of you, Ben Mundy, a middle-aged sort of so-called surf journalist, creeping around young, as you say, attractive pro surfers. How old was it? Did you say she was 15? What are you looking at?
She's 19. It's called research.
It's called research, is it?
Did
you? Yeah, okay. Well, it's on to your
comments. First interviewer, that could maybe out the window now, but yeah. Well, it's Facebook's open forum. So you go and you start sending messages, so people get back to you, that's how you meet in the modern era, Paul.
Okay.
You know what I'm sick of? Drone images of sharks. You cannot open up your computer these days without someone filming a shark from above. A bit of hysteria. Sharks are in the ocean. When you film them from above, you see them. It's kind of pretty much sums up the whole kind of feel. And I don't get that excited by it. And I don't kind of get the hysteria around it. And I'm just a bit sick of it.
Breaking news, there are sharks swimming in the sea around Australia.
A white-tipped shark was seen near a SUP paddler at Noosa.
Yeah, no shit. It's just that I think the drones are the first time we've been able to see a lot of them, with little men, mainly men, with little cameras filming them. So, yeah.
Sharks in the sea. Did you see the one the other day, the picture of there's a guy like doing a sort of hang five, and it looks like a whale shark or something? Have you seen that one?
No, I saw the kid one.
If it's real, it's like the best thing I've ever seen. It's like amazing.
Well, it's not then, is it?
The one that they weren't sure if it was a duck diving shark or a duck diving surfer. Is that what you're talking about?
10-year-old one.
Yeah, what's your take, Ben, as if I
It
care?
Could be either. It could be either. Yeah.
And on just while you're on the subject, let's get you... Where do you stand on the whole shark thing? Are you sort of pro-Carl? Are you more of a sort of Sea Shepherd vibe? Where do you stand on that, Ben? Are we in their domain, or are they just dicks, these sharks?
I'm conflicted a little bit because I know that the effect of the shark attacks have had on, say, Byron and Ballina and even
Reunion Island.
Newcastle and Reunion have been devastating for the community. On the other hand, I just don't think at the moment we've got any sort of ways of alleviating. So I think... We need more technology. We need more, actually, going against what I just said, more drones in the air, you know, telling people that are out there. Right. The chances of getting...
Can you see what I've done
still,
there?
The chance,
can you see what I've done?
Yeah, yeah, that's you've clever. Set a trap and I've just swum into it.
Yeah.
But the chances of getting eaten by a shark are still so infinitesimal, so minuscule. If you look in the cold, light, heart facts, which is hard when people are getting their legs chomped off, I know, but it's still such a low risk.
But if you say you got eaten and died by a shark, or bitten and died, bled out on the beach in agonising pain, and would you like to know sort of posthumously that someone had gone out and hunted that shark in retaliation?
No, not at all.
And killed it? Or would you rather it was allowed to live out the rest of its life?
I would rather see it live out the rest of its life.
With little bits of you sort of between its teeth.
Yeah.
Forever.
Little bits of, yeah. Well, my cousin, who almost lost an arm and had severe damage to a leg, she got bitten in Port Hacking. She was wakeboarding in Port Stevens, which is not even in the ocean. It's like an inlet. And she got done, and she's one of the Australia's sort of most advocate of shark protection. So So that's why she's gone.
Yeah.
She's the one that got bit. So I kind of on her side, I think. I think I'd like to think that way, given the choice. But I've lived in Europe for 10 years and haven't had to worry about a shark in that long. When you go back to Oz, it's a real danger. It's impacted the surf communities. Kids are freaking out. I don't want to see that either. So I'm not sure what you need.
Yeah,
I think the nets are probably the answer.
I thought Taj Bow probably made quite a good point a couple of years back when they talked about the cull in WA. And you're like, well, you know, do you eat fish caught from the ocean? Like, you're okay to sort of catch a fish to eat it and kill a fish for that, but you're not prepared to sort of, to not die to sort of kill a fish. You know what I mean? It's like you'd rather die and go, oh, no, we can't kill a shark.
Did he put it a bit better than that? But,
yeah.
More eloquently than that.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, yeah, I obviously don't eat fish, Ben.
Yes. So you're happy killing them.
I'm a big fan of Sea Shepherd in general. Most of sort of everything they really do. But then when you see like kids actually like losing their life and stuff, then you just think, well, you know, I'd rather a shark died than a human. Ice sculpture.
Right. Something close to every surfer's heart.
You know when you're on a plane and they do those sort of like news of magazine type sort of shows and they go, we're here in somewhere... Somewhere Switzerland.
Yeah.
And there's like an ice sculpting championship.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like, because entrants from 17 countries took part in the 34th annual ice sculpting championship. Fucking hell. it might be the only thing I sort of, yeah. No, I'd probably say it is literally my least favourite thing after, you know, sort of surf media. But yeah, ice sculpting stuff.
Yeah.
I think basically what happened is I reached sort of saturation point in the last couple of weeks. I saw like three separate things.
It is the time right now.
About ice sculpting.
Yeah, it's real ice sculpting time.
God.
Stop carving ice and do something with your life.
Yeah, you know, I got no beef if anyone wants to carve ice, but I'm not sure it's a TV show. It's a show. I don't think it needs to be on the news.
Even I just think maybe 7-minute humour spot. Yeah.
I think people want recognition for it. I think you should be more like a soul ice carver and just do it for yourself.
Soul sculptor.
Yeah, just kind of do it quietly without sponsors and without the media spotlight.
Freedom, there ain't no fucking freedom!
Surf news. You've got your finger on the pulse. What's been happening down under? A couple of Australians have been out of action for a while. Quite serious injuries. What's the latest?
It's good news that Owen Wright is coming back to surf in Newcastle in his competitive comeback after suffering some head injury at Pipe the year before last. So, there's been a lot of...
Is he actually definitely all right then? Because I sort of heard mixed things that he thought it was okay and other people were like...
I don't know.
Okay, cool.
Well, he's surfing in Newcastle.
Glad you're here, yeah.
But the thing being, it's been so much kind of... Yeah, it's all whispers and rumours and Owen's never come out and said exactly what the state of his injury was. Maybe potentially because they didn't really know, you know, those brain injuries improve or don't sometimes. But he's surfing in a... 6-star event.
Cool.
He'll be doing media, so I assume, obviously, he's and I've seen footage of him ripping, so that's awesome news. Pete Durbridge came back in at Pipe, so he's coming back for a spin around. And I thought he too, that was potentially career ending.
That was his hip, his pelvis.
Well, he smashed his pelvis, but all the ligaments and all the internal organs attached to that pelvis were ripped off. He couldn't walk for 3 months. You know, it was it wasn't just a broken pelvis. There's a lot of shit that goes on with a broken pelvis. And Durbo just powered through it. And, he's back. So, it's good to see you. Hopefully, them two fighting fit.
I would take a stick of the very best marijuana I could find. And I would save it for years and hope it didn't get too stale. Because I'd know that I would have one opportunity to smoke it and only one. So I'd wait for that perfect day on the desert island when all the conditions were right.
This is a legal talk, Mr. Mailer.
And what other news in surfing have we had? Well, oh, I tell you what happened yesterday, and I'm going to try and ring this fucker. Tom Butler rode about a 50-foot barrel at Mullaghmoor just yesterday.
Tom Butler.
Hey, right, Paul.
How you doing, mate?
I'm yeah, good. I'm driving, so I don't know how great the 3G will last. Where are you? Are you at Mullaghmoor now, are you?
No, we're in London.
It's pumping.
Well, basically, yeah, I'm in London. I'm here with Mundy. We just wanted to chat with you about your massive wave yesterday at Mullaghmoor.
That wasn't me.
Oh, I saw you get a good one, Tom. Don't bullshit us.
You got a big one yesterday.
Yes. I saw the footage.
What, mate. I wish.
No. What was it like? What was the day like? What was the highlights?
I haven't even been in Ireland. I've been at home in Newcastle.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, this is good.
Where do you guys get your sauce from?
My sauce is Mundy, basically, and he's an idiot. He was like, oh, Tom Butler got a massive wave at Mullaghmoor, and I was like, is he back? He's injured, isn't he? Is he back? He's like, yeah, no, I saw it. What an idiot.
I wish.
What's going on? How's the recovery anyway? What's going on?
Yeah, I only got back in the sea on Wednesday, bit of fun. It was only small, like 3-4, but feels alright. It's just a little bit painful to lie on that area still.
And what Nazare is going to get back on that horse next winter? Is that the plan, mate?
Yeah, I think it's all sort of finished now. It's winter, to be honest. Like I've been out of training for a few months, and yeah, it's all going to happen down there. So just get back down there bigger and better, and hopefully get another shot at the contest, but I'm not over the top fussed for the event. I just want to get down there and catch some beast waves, and if you do that, they probably get put in the event when it's on.
Sounds good. Yeah, oh well.
I'd like a Mully wave as well.
We're just going to have to go with it. You're just going to have to make up that you did catch an 80-footer yesterday, if that's okay.
Chuck it in. With it.
Ben wanted you to get one so much he just imagined it this morning while he's having his cornflakes. So you know,
it's a post-truth world, mate. You can make any shit up and it works. So I might just do that.
True. Push it out. Well, I'm going to try and get some waves down here today. No, I'm just driving over towards St. Ives.
Sweet.
It's bigger.
Yeah, it's big and stormy and just rank weather.
Right.
I live on the south coast, and I'm just driving up over like the clay pits over the spine of Cornwall, and it's just fucking pissing it down at 4 degrees.
That sounds awesome.
What are you guys doing there, Ben? Are you in London for a little while?
I'm going back to France in about half an hour. I'm actually drinking a beer right now.
Paul said two beers by 9:30. We're all just doing our best, mate. All doing our best.
Well, look, dude, have a good surf. Yeah. Have a good shred. Sorry about Ben's misinformation. We'll chat soon.
That's all right. Good.
Tommy, before we go, one thing. We do a little segment where you get to have a moan.
Ben Mundy there, just ticking all the boxes journalistically.
You know what? I think I saw something on Facebook and said it, and then I checked on it, and I've just rechecked now, and it was in 2014.
Wanko!
It's just another
Mona
Monday. Wish it was Sunday.
Okay, we've got a caller on the line. It's Tristram from Camborne and Cornwall. Welcome to the show, Tristram. What's up?
Chest zips. What's that all about? So, winter surfing, it's tough at the best of times down here in Cornwall. You get in a 5'3 suit, it's got a chest zip, you can't fucking get out of it. That's the problem. It's like, you end up like Houdini in a straitjacket. You can't get your elbows out.
Or not like Houdini, because he could always get out of it, couldn't he?
Have you thought about just getting a back zip wetsuit instead then? I mean, presumably no one's foisting that sort of design upon you.
No, it seems like, yeah, if you're cool, you've got to have a chest zip now, and you've got to just pretend that you can get out of it really easily. And then, when you, this is the other thing with surfing in the winter, when you've got your boots on and you come out of the water and you get that like balloon at the bottom of your legs, you look like Captain Haddock in space or something.
The fankles, you got the fankles.
Yeah, it's just full of like seawater and piss. It's just, it's impossible to look cool, isn't it?
It's that milky sort of grey water that comes out.
Tristram, back to your chest problem, which I do get. You know, I've had that problem myself. But at what stage do you ask for help of a stranger? How can you give yourself before you're forced to go to ask a grown man to unzip you from a wetsuit?
It's one of those where you kind of hope that there's somebody around that you are familiar with.
Have you ever, like, maybe had a sort of a magical session and come in onto the shore break and, like, maybe there's, like, a hot chick or guy standing there on the beach, kind of, and you're kind of, like, making eye contact? And, like,
no, he lives in Cornwall.
Good point, Ben, nice. And then maybe you come in and there's a girl that's on holiday from somewhere else, an attractive one, and she's, you know, she's checking you out and you're sort of maintaining eye contact and you kind of bend down and just open the sort of bottom of your wetsuit in one movement and a sort of a litre of kind of milky grey sort of piss sort of gushes out over it. It's quite hard to look cool when you're doing that, isn't it?
When you're gushing, in the winter you don't tend to have those romantic moments. I think you're getting confused, you know, living in Horsica there, Paul.
No, look, it's a valid bone. I'm going to take it up with the wetsuit designers of the world, see if we can improve the situation, and maybe, or you could just move.
Fuck, there's got to be a better way. Or just some instructions, if you get stuck. It's just another Mona
Monday. A man here that wants to have a moan at Monday. His name is Noel. He's from Dalston, another epicentre of the surfing universe. Noel, what have you got to moan about? Get it off your chest.
About Mick Fanning and that new edit of The Snake. And not really about Mick, but the aftermath when everybody else wanted to find out where that wave is. Can we just not let it go? You're not going to go to Somalia. And you're not definitely not going to go looking into surfing in Pakistan. Come here to me. Brett and Michael from Cornwall or from California ain't gonna go into fucking Somalia. Somalia? No, you're not. Let it go. And by the way, it's only these people have gone on these 2 month sabbatical surf yoga trips and now think they're epic and they can get pitted out of their brains. No, it's not. You don't even know how to even go down a line. My God, are you kidding me?
Right, just give me some breath here. There's some good stuff in there. I'm with you on the Mick new wave, and then you quickly segued into surfing and yoga, which I'm not sure if it's related, but I think there might be a kernel of a moan in there too. What's your gripe with that combination?
You know these guys that go like a little surf lesson, and then all of a sudden they're opening up their own yoga surf camp. Get over yourself.
Noel there, Ben. Good moan, good content.
Yeah, I liked it. He was pretty fired up. I liked his passion, for sure.
Without meaning to sort of indulge sort of national stereotypes, I generally don't associate the Irish as being sort of kind of judgmental and kind of, you know, I was thinking a bit sort of cheerful, but I like the way he's kind of railed against it. Actually, it does remind me in a way of a guy I used to know called John the Intolerant Buddhist. And basically, I mean, just as the name suggests, he was a Buddhist. And he used to hang outside this cafe all day, and I'd see him, this is in Plymouth, I'd see him, I'd be like, all right, John, how's it going? He's like, I went up that ashram last week, up Exmoor. And I was like, oh, how'd it go? Like, fucking tossers. Yeah, so it reminds me a little bit of that, just guys that you wouldn't expect to be cynical.
He's got a real edge, he's got a real cynical edge, which we of course love. I thought he had some valid points, both on the naming of that wave, which has been a bit of a shit fight. People saying you should, people saying you shouldn't. Yeah, I kind of agree with this point. Just leave it alone. It's just another Mona
Monday. Alright, okay, I've got Eddie here from Redhead, Australia. Have you got something to moan about, Eddie? What's been happening?
Mate, I went out to Indonesia recently. I had to stop out in Bali for a day. So I got a taxi out to Uluwatu. Now, I knew it'd be crowded, but probably wasn't really prepared for what I was going to find. So as I drove across the Padang Padang Bridge, I saw a big banner for the Book It Surf School. And I saw it was early in the morning, I was thinking, fuck, what are they doing to learn to surf out here? But anyway, didn't give it much thought. Paddled out onto a really clean 2 to 3 foot racetrack, probably 6 guys out. And I saw these 2 guys walking across the reef carrying their 8 foot surf school softball. And I was thinking, fucking hell, like, are they really gonna not only just try and get out of here, even though it's only small, you know, but maybe they're pros and they're just taking the piss, but they sort of had those, you know, Hawaiian jargon and haircuts, so they weren't even European backpackers. Anyway, those 2 guys managed to get out, you know, like novice surfers do, you know, just fucking crab paddling across the reef and sat in the lineup. The funny thing was, the surf was picking up a little bit and the tide was getting higher, so it was getting harder. So me and a few other guys were getting some good waves. But then I had to watch these 2 guys. The first guy go over the falls with a 2 footer and land straight on top of the reef. At the end of the day, it's like, what the fuck are these guys doing learning to surf at Uluwatu, one of the most crowded reef breaks in Indonesia?
It's not surf schools in general, just ones on the booklet that you're most upset about, Eddie, is that right?
I haven't really got a soft spot for many surf schools. The interesting thing, though, was I had to get back to Kuta. Just put my board down, wait for a taxi or something. And Heidi Klum's sister pulled up next to me on a motorbike. She had a G-string on a moped. She just so happened to have a set of board racks on a moped. And she said to me in her Scandinavian accent, "Do I know where Padang Padang is?" I said, yeah, matter of fact, I do. And I said, what? I said, you're here in Uluwatu, why don't you go down there? She said, no, I've got a surfing lesson at Padang Padang. This is surf school, Indo-style now. Like, don't just start at Kuta Beach. Why start there? Why not just go and start at, you know, a couple of the heaviest lefts in Indonesia? It's just another Mona
Monday. Well, Eddie there, so surf school's on the bucket. He's got a genuine health and safety issue.
I think that was his main concern, is he's just worried about the poor Scandinavian or, you know, fellows from Germany or wherever the fuck they're from, skinning themselves alive at on the coral reefs of Uluwatu.
Good range of moans there, Ben. Obviously this is Mona Monday, so you're gonna pick on Mona, but I'll just give you my feedback if I may. I like the way Tristram came straight in off the bat and said what his moan was straight away. He came, chest tips. I like the way he didn't beat around the bush. I did like the passion from Noel.
Yeah.
I probably thought that Eddie had the sort of most sort of pertinent kind of, that genuinely is a real problem. People might get hurt. So some 3 really strong moans there, Ben. What do you like?
Just on the first one, Tristan, yeah, you're right about Tristan, but chest zips, is he talking about chest zips or is he talking about zipperless wetsuits? I think he might have got a little bit confused himself there, the concept itself. I wasn't, you know, that was my only gripe, otherwise well said. So Eddie's point was, you know, really valid. He's worried about those poor Scandos. But for me, it's got to be Noel. I like the cynical, I like the, he was a real moan. You could sense that that's something he does as for a living. He kind of moans full time. And to take some time out and broadcast it personally, I thought was I like the attitude, I like the passion.
Because I want to get to this Ben Mundy, is it Mundy or Mundy?
Ben Mundy, yeah, Ben, he's like a journalist.
Yeah.
Well, that pretty much brings it to a close for the 7th episode of the Surf Europe podcast. Great show, Ben.
Yeah, I had ball pull as always. Plenty of highlights, couple of lowlights.
This is the time where we remind our legions of fans and subscribers to tell a friend to subscribe. Make sure you leave a review on there too. I don't really know why, but everyone else on every other podcast always says that at the end, so we'll do it as well. Yeah. Please leave a review.
But don't be honest.
Yeah, leave a dishonest review saying that it was okay, please.